जनवल्लभगिरिवरधारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन बज जान रंजन यशोदनंदन बज जान रंजन जमुना तीरावन चारी जमुना तीरावन चारी बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन बज जान रंजन रावण चारी जमुना ती रावण चारी जय राधा माधव सिंह बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जान रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जान रंजन
परमहंसाचार्य अस्तोदर्शक श्री श्रीमदी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की श्रीमद्भागवतान की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांगा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्री So this morning we are studying from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, verse number 24 and 25.
Yasmadat udadhi udha bhayanga vepo chintamani.
Yasmadadat udadhi udha bhayanga vepo. Margam sapadya ripuram haravadi dhiksho. Dure suhin matita rosha shishona drishtya. Tata payam anamakaro. Tata pyamana makaro raganakra chakra. Yasma adat udadhir udha bhayanga vepo. Margam sapadya ripuram haravadi dhaksho. Dure surhin matita rosha sushona drishtya. Tata pyamana makaro raganakra chakra.
Please chant.
Yasma adadu dhadi ud.
Shukra. Dure suhum matita rosa sushona drishya. Tata pemana makaro raganatra chakra. Thank you. Word to word. Yasmai unto him Adat gave Udadhi, the great Indian Ocean. Udha bhaya, affected by fear. Anga vepaha, bodily trembling. Margam, way. Sapadi, quickly. Aripuram, the city of the enemy. Haravat, like that of Hara, Mahadev. Didhaksho, desiring to burn to ashes. Dure, at a long distance. Surhit, intimate friend. Matita, being aggrieved by. Rosha, in anger. Su, shona, red hot. Drishtya, by such a glance. Tatapyamana, burning in heat. Makara, sharks. Uraga, snakes. Nakra, crocodiles. Chakra, circle. The personality of Godhead, Ramachandra, being aggrieved for his distant intimate friend, Sita, glanced over the city of the enemy, Ravana, with red-hot eyes like those of Hara, who wanted to burn the kingdom of heaven. The great ocean, trembling in fear, gave him his way because its family members, the aquatics like the sharks, snakes and crocodiles, were being burnt by the heat of the angry, red-hot eyes of the Lord. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The personality of Godhead has every sentiment of a sentient being, like all other living beings, because he is the chief and original living entity, the supreme source of all other living beings. He is the Nitya, or the chief eternal amongst all other eternals. He is the chief one, and all others are the dependent many. The many eternals are supported by the one eternal, and thus both the eternals are qualitatively one. Due to such oneness, both the eternals constitutionally have a complete range of sentiments, but the difference is that the sentiments of the chief eternal are different in quantity from the sentiments of the dependent eternals. When Ramachandra was angry and showed his red-hot eyes, the whole ocean became heated with that energy, so much so that the aquatics within the great ocean felt the heat, and the personified ocean trembled in fear and offered the Lord an easy path for reaching the enemy's city. The impersonalists will see havoc in the red-hot sentiment of the Lord because they want to see negation in perfection. Because the Lord is absolute, the impersonalists imagine that in the absolute, the sentiment of anger, which resembles mundane sentiments, must be conspicuous by absence. Due to a poor fund of knowledge, they do not realize that the sentiment of the absolute person is transcendental to all mundane concepts of quality and quantity. Had Lord Ramachandra's sentiment been of mundane origin, how could it disturb the whole ocean and its inhabitants? Can any mundane red-hot eye generate heat in the great ocean? These are factors to be distinguished in terms of the personal and impersonal conceptions of the Absolute Truth. As it is said in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Absolute Truth is the source of everything. So the Absolute Person cannot be devoid of the sentiments that are reflected in the temporary mundane world. Rather, the different sentiments found in the Absolute, either in anger or in mercy, have the same qualitative influence, or, in other words, there is no mundane difference of value because these sentiments are all on the absolute plane. Such sentiments are definitely not absent in the absolute, as the impersonalists think, making their mundane estimation of the transcendental world. So we will chant together verse number 25, and I'll read the short translation, short paper.
Vakshasthalasparsharugnamahendravaha Dante vidambita kakubjusha urhahasam Sadhyo sudhi saha vineshyati dara hartu
vispurjita dhanusha uccharat. When Ravan was engaged in the battle, the trunk of the elephant which carried the king of heaven. When Ravana was engaged in the battle, the trunk of the elephant which. Here says trunk, but tusks. The tusks of the elephant which carried the king of heaven, Indra broke in pieces, having collided with the chest of Ravana, and the scattered broken parts illuminated all directions. Ravana therefore felt proud of his prowess and began to loiter in the midst of the fighting soldiers, thinking himself the conqueror of all directions. But his laughter, overtaken by joy, along with his very air of life, suddenly ceased with the tingling sound of the bow of Ramachandra, the personality of Godhead. Yeah, I'm just reading whatever it says here. Trunk, tusks, tingling, whang. It's all Hare Krishna. Purport. However powerful a living being may be, when he is condemned by no one, by God, no one can save him. And similarly, however weak one may be, if he is protected by the Lord, no one can annihilate him. Om Agyanatimandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuramritam Yena Taismai Shri Guru Vaya Namaha Nama Om Shripadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutaleshya Nakya Bhakti Vedanta Swami Phanamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tharane Vancha Kalpatur Vascha Kripa Sundhiv Chapatita Nam Pavane Vyo Vashnu Vibro Namo Maha. At Govardhan, during the Japa retreat, Burijan Prabhu narrated a story, pastime with Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada, this was in 1972, and Srila Prabhupada was in Japan. And the Hindu organization had arranged a program for Srila Prabhupada. And in that program, they had also invited a Mayavadi sannyasi. I don't know whether it was a sannyasi, but a Mayavadi, yeah. And so the devotees asked the Hindu organization that if they could give money to get a garland for Prabhupada, then they said, okay, yeah. He said, but you have to make it for the Mayavadi sannyasi too. And so they said, no problem. So what they did is that they made a garland for Chira Prabhupada and they gave him maha from the previous day to the Mayavadi sannyasi. Anyway, so then there was, just giving you little details of this situation, and then there was a, most of the people were Sindhis, Punjabi, so they worshiped, they read Guru Granth Sahib, that's their scripture. And so they had an asan for the person who's going to read the Guru Granth. And so Srila Prabhupada, so the devotee said, well, Srila Prabhupada, our Prabhupada has to sit there. He said, no, this is for just for those who are going to read the Guru Granth. And they said, no, well, our Srila Prabhupada is very famous, so you have to let him sit on there. And so finally, they agreed for Prabhupada to sit on this asana. So Srila Prabhupada, you know, he started off with the kirtan, and then he spoke. So you can imagine what Srila Prabhupada spoke on. There's a Mayavadi sitting there, yeah? So Srila Prabhupada spoke in about Mayavadi philosophy, you know, smashing them. He spoke in English. So after Srila Prabhupada spoke on the philosophy, then he spoke for like half an hour, 40 minutes, and then it was time for the Mayavadi to speak. So the head of the Hindu organization came and gave his hand to get Prabhupada off the asan for the Mayavadi to sit. Srila Prabhupada just ignored, like nobody's saying anything to him. He's just like sitting down there. So they tried to do it and they could see that Srila Prabhupada was not getting off the asan. So awkward moment. Anyway, so then the Mayavadi could see that, okay, you know, he's not going to do that. So he said, oh, not to worry. So they brought, they had asked him to sit on another seat on the stage. So the Mayavadi started speaking, and he spoke in Hindi. So the devotees there didn't know anything what was happening, what he was saying. So Srila Prabhupada was just sitting down with his hand in his beadwig and just kind of rocking back and forth, you know, chanting on his beads. So the devotees looked at Prabhupada, they did the same thing, they got their beads and, you know, started rocking back and forth and chanting. And then basically that went on for like, you know, 15, 20 minutes, and then then the sannyasi started speaking, and then Prabhupada looked at Bhujan Prabhu directly. Stop it! You can imagine it, like, especially if you know Bhujan Prabhu, he's such a gentleman, you know. So he just didn't know what to do. And so he just looked at Prabhupada, and he didn't. And then Srila Prabhupada says, start kirtan. So the devotees, right while the Mayavadi was speaking, Srila Prabhupada, all the devotees just got up and started, kartal, the mridanga, got up and started chanting. Okay. So anyway, so afterwards, and since the devotees didn't know what he was saying, and they didn't know, they just did what Prabhupada told them to do. So later on, they asked Prabhupada, you know, what exactly happened? So Prabhupada said, well, initially, he was speaking fine, and then he was talking about Panchopasana, about the demigods, worship of different gradations of demigods worship, and then he said, and then above Vishnu, a worship of Vishnu is the worship of Brahman. And he said, Prabhupada said, I could not tolerate that. And so that's what Srila Prabhupada did. So we all know, we have read, we've been around enough, we know Srila Prabhupada and his love to smash the impersonalist. And he takes every opportunity to do so. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. That's his mantra. And if you look at this, I was thinking, look at this verse number 24, where Srila Prabhupada gives a whole purport about impersonalism. And personalism. I mean, in one sense, I mean, reading this translation again, the personality of Godhead, Ramachandra, being aggrieved for his distant, intimate friend Sita, glanced over the city of the enemy Ravana with red-hot eyes like those of Hara, who wanted to burn the kingdom of heaven. The great ocean, trembling in fear, gave him his way because its family members, the aquatics, like the sharks, snakes, and crocodiles, were being burned by the heat of the angry red hot eyes of the Lord. I would have not thought that there would be a purport as far about impersonalism. But for a personalist, any verse, if you're a personalist, any verse could be about smashing the impersonalist. I mean, Srila Prabhupada just gives a whole thing. Purport. But we also see, we've been studying Tattva Sandarbha with Nagashwaru, and there we see the Jiva Goswami. He is, in the start of the book, he writes that this book, he says, only one whose main desire is to worship the lotus feet of Lord Krishna should read this book. Everyone else, I warn off with my curse. So, and then you see in this Tattva Sandarbha, there's so much. I mean, initially he establishes Srimad Bhagavatam as Pramana, but then afterwards there's just so much discussion on impersonalism. And he goes into details in the purport on Gopi Pranadhana Prabhu, into details about impersonalism, and I don't understand much of it, to be honest, but apparently even in the next two Sandharvas, Bhagavat Sandharva and Paramatma Sandharva, he continues the discussion about impersonalism, maybe not in the depth that it goes in Tattva Sandharva. So we see that, you know, Jiva Goswami, he says, initially he's saying there that I curse everybody who is not a Krishna Bhakta. I warn off with my curse. But then the question comes to mind is that, why does he talk so much about impersonalism? We see that Lord Chaitanya, we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he talks to the, you know, tattvavadis, and he basically shows them that they're lower grade of Vaishnavas, you know. Madhvacharya was very much into the Varnashram system and like that. But, so although he says that the tattvavadis are lower grade of Vaishnavas, but we see that he, Lord Chaitanya, is the one who connected himself, his sampradaya with Madhvacharya. And the Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya Sampradaya. So we are the Gaudiya Sampradaya, so we have to be connected to one of the four sampradayas and to make it authorized, you know. So Lord Chaitanya connected himself to Madhva, Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. And so it's interesting why he connected himself to Madhvacharya Sampradaya. Madhvacharya was actually coming in the line of Shankaracharya. But Madhvacharya did not agree with the impersonalist philosophy of Shankaracharya. And so he actually was very much opposed Shankaracharya, and he fought against this philosophy of impersonalism. And he named his commentary to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Tatparnaya Nirnaya, basically signifying that his intention was to show the definitive understanding of the Bhagavatam. In other words, has nothing to do with impersonalism. In this work and in all of his writings, Sri Madhava uncompromisingly opposed the Mayavadis. And that is the reason Lord Chaitanya, because Madhvacharya was very opposed to impersonalism and really establishing personalism, that Lord Chaitanya chose to formally affiliate himself with that sampradaya. You know, he was a disciple of Ishwar Puri, and Ishwar Puri was a disciple of a Madhvait Acharya Vyasa Tirtha, great grand disciple. He was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, but great grand disciple. So we see that, you know, Srila Prabhupada, we see Jiva Goswami, we see Lord Chaitanya, very much into establishing personalism. So my own thoughts, while I was preparing for the class, I was thinking, I don't have any problem with the personality of Godhead, you know. I mean, Krishna is a cowherd boy. I mean, so sweet. Radharani, cowherd boys, they go and play, they have fun, they do a lot of bantering with each other. It's just so much fun. So I don't have any problem. I don't know about all of you, but I certainly don't have any problem with Krishna being a person. But as long as I'm not in Arjuna's shoes, as long as Krishna doesn't come and tell me that I have to kill my grandfather who loves me and I love him, as long as I have to kill my teacher, he loves me, my teacher, I'm the favorite student, and he's my favorite teacher, as long as Krishna doesn't come and tell me that, I'm fine with him being the personality of Godhead. In other words, we have a hard time surrendering. That was my thoughts on personalism. Personalism means surrender. That's what Krishna told Arjuna, to surrender. I was a surrender for Arjuna. That was a surrender. There were other people that Krishna told to surrender, but they were not willing to surrender. But Arjuna being a devotee, and it was not easy. It was not easy. So certainly Krishna is not going to tell me to do, come and say anything to me, okay, do this, Maramati. So for us, where do we get tested? Arjuna got tested by Krishna directly. But when But how we get tested, and we're talking about personalism here, we get tested with our spiritual master, and we get tested with the Vaishnavas. Our conception, when it comes to spiritual master, sometimes it can be very impersonal. I remember one time, I was not even initiated at that time, but I asked, you know, Sathya Maharaj, he was encouraging the disciples to write to him, to communicate. And I said to him, I asked the question, why do we have to write a letter telling how we're doing? Because whatever the spiritual master needs to know, Krishna lets him know. So there's no need for us to write a letter. And then Sathya Maharaj said, that's impersonalism. Yeah, we have certain conceptions. Sometimes we go in various areas. We know even in our history of our movement, the four sannyasis who started saying that Sri Prabhupada was God, and we know the spiritual master is as good as God, but not that he is God. And Sri Prabhupada was so angry with that philosophy being spread that he kicked those sannyasis out of the movement. And you have to understand, I mean, these were his very dear disciples. You know, Brahmananda Swami at that time. I mean, these are the devotees that helped him in the very, you know, initial start of the movement. And we know that Prabhupada had very special affection for them. But he did not tolerate that. It's philosophy, impersonalism. It comes in, as I said, in various ways. So we think that the spiritual master is God, or we think he has to be a certain way, he's supposed to be like this. And if the spiritual master is not like this, then he is not God, I mean, he's not a guru. Then we come with the philosophy of Ritvik philosophy. Well, there is only Srila Prabhupada is the guru and no other guru, because we have certain conceptions. Because of our impersonalist tendency, or we think that the devotee sadhus are a certain way, they should act a certain way, they should look at a certain they should look a certain way. We see that even in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Mukund Gadadhar, whenever there was some Vaishnavas coming, great Vaishnavas, Mukunda would always tell Gadadhar, let's go and hear this devotee. And so Gadadhar went to see Pundarik, and we all know the story that Pundarik was all dressed up, you know, with fine clothing, silk clothing, sitting on an asan with, I think, what was it, oiled hair and slick hair or something, and chewing pan, and, you know, I mean, wow, look, can you imagine? I was like, and Gadadhar looked at him like, I don't think so. I know what he's talking about, but that's, you know. So he thought that in his mind, because he thought that a devotee looks a certain way, and this devotee could not, you know, this could not be a great Vaishnava. So we see that, and the idea, our thinking, how we may think what a devotee is or what a devotee is not. Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Atreya Rishi Prabhu. This was in 72. He said, I'll be reading parts of the letter. It is the nature of the living condition to always have some fault. Now listen to the next line. Even in the spiritual world, there is some fault and envy. Sometimes the gopis will quarrel over Krishna's favor. But it is not the same as material fault or material envy. It is transcendental because it is all based on Krishna. Sometimes when one gopi would serve Krishna very nicely, the others would say, "Oh, she has done so nicely. Now let me do better for pleasing Krishna." Sri Prabhupada says, that is envy. But it is transcendental. And why does Sri Prabhupada say it is transcendental? He says, because it is without malice. So, we shall not accept that anywhere there is any utopia. In other words, he's saying, even in the spiritual world, don't think there is utopia. So we shall not expect that anywhere there is any utopia. Rather, that is impersonalism. Now hear further. People should not expect that even in the Krishna consciousness society, there will be utopia. Because devotees are persons, therefore there will always be some lacking. Their lackings have become transcendental. So Srila Prabhupada just talked about the spiritual world. And he just talked about that is envy. But he just said that it is transcendental. Now he's saying about the Krishna consciousness movement here. He said, their lackings have become transcendental because despite everything they may do, their topmost intention is to serve Krishna. He further, he quotes Bhagavad Gita, one who is engaged in devotional service despite the most abominable action is to be considered saintly because it's rightly situated. He says, the devotees of Krishna are the most exalted persons on this planet, better than kings. All of them, not just a couple of them, he says all of them, all the devotees, all of them. So we should always remember that, and like the bumblebee, always look for the nectar or the best qualities of a person, not like the utopians. Listen to this. Not like the utopians who are like the flies who always go to the open source or find the faults in a person. And because they cannot find any utopia, or because they cannot find anyone without faults, they want to become void, merge, nothing. They think that is utopia, to become void of personality. So Srila Prabhupada has brought impersonalism for us to see what is impersonalism for us as we every day interact with each other. I'd like to read something about Bhaktivinoda Thakur and what he says. It's something very interesting. I was kind of surprised. He describes this in his song, Bhajan's Kalyana Kalpataru. In Kalyana Kalpataru, in verse number 5 of Upadesh, the very first series of verses in Kalyana Kalpataru. I'll just read the English. He's talking to the mind. My dear mind, why do you have all these skeptical doubts? You despise the material world just to facilitate your merging into Brahman. But you're afraid to worship Hari, the Lord of ecstatic love, for fear of perceiving your own eternal spiritual form. So I was just like, okay. So he's saying that we want to merge into the Brahman because we fear of perceiving our own eternal spiritual form. In the second verse, he says, this fear is due to your thinking that everything is made of Brahman. You imagine that if you were to meditate on your eternal spiritual form, that sometime later you may become influenced by forms made of the material energy. Interesting, yeah? You imagine that if you were to meditate on your eternal spiritual form, that sometime later you may become influenced by forms made of the material energy. This is our fear. And I just read, he says, therefore, your so-called impersonal Brahman realization has actually shortchanged you from your true ecstasy, and thus you simply remain in scarcity for want of true love. So we are hearing from Srila Prabhupada, some thoughts on that. We're hearing from Bhaktivinoda Thakur why he says we tend towards impersonalism. And Srila Prabhupada says that impersonalism and voidism, nirvishesha shunyavadi, they kill the natural aptitude of devotion. Basically, I was thinking that both these things, what Prabhupada is saying and what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, it's all based on fear, attachment, you know, it's same things. And Srila Prabhupada says that, therefore, because what impersonalism does to our devotion, he has printed books like Krishna book, so that people may know that the Supreme Absolute Truth is a person. So he gives us a solution. One place he says, well, therefore you should read Shri Upanishad if you have the impersonal, to help us through the impersonal conception. Anyway, these are some things that I wanted to share with you today. If you have any thoughts or reflections on the subject matter of impersonalism. Yes, Hemavati.
I will. I was wondering, is it impersonalist if we can see behind the forces of nature, like the rain, the wind, whatever is controlled by demigods, if we don't see persons behind that?
Yes, we have to see persons behind that, yes. Our movement is very personal. And when you start seeing things in a personal way, then it will help other problems. Like for example, Jamuna Devi, you know, such a big thing about trying to, you know, not to dump things in her water. As soon as you see her as a person, then naturally you will think, if you start seeing the person, a person. Otherwise, just a river, just flowing. So yes, I think it's very important to see persons behind.
It's strange, huh? I just realized very recently that Prabhupada was in his deity. Strange, huh? Years and years and years of hearing his glories, and one morning it happened that his japa wasn't on his finger, and I got to put it on, and then I realized I never knew you were a person. And I put his japa, and then, wow, I got such a, wow. Anyway, I just wanted to share this.
Thank you for, yes, sir, you did service to a person. I mean, that's why we have deity worship, that hopefully by keep on serving the deities that we will one day see them as people, persons.
Yes. Like I wanted to say that even us, lay people, or even the material, sometimes they said Mother Earth. They believe nothing, like Mother Earth could bear everything, of course, you know. So I gave a day of worshiping Mother Earth, you know. Of course, we devotees, we understand the meaning, but they don't, but still it's there. Like you go in the nature, you walk, you feel better. You go under the shade of a tree, you know. Because the shelter, Mother Earth, we have so many mothers, of course, 6, 7 mothers, how many we have. The other thing I want to, you, that's the point that impersonalism is something that, and just came to my mind that I had some question, similar question, I posed to one senior devotee, Srila Prabhupada, and said, you have to worship the deity because we cannot see our form. You have to worship the deity according to your spiritual master instructions.
Yeah.
And then Krishna will reveal to you. Because sometimes I go in the altar, offer incense, oh, see, the form of Krishna is beautiful, but who am I? You know, sometimes, but Krishna reveals something when he wants, when I follow properly the standards of deity worship, that is so important. Because the mind goes so many directions, so many forms, so many conceptions. A practical service, worshiping the deity according to rules and regulations, and don't go beyond. Krishna will reveal us who he is, who we are. And then the mind gives enthusiasm to continue the service.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Krishna.
Did you say that Ritvik is impersonalism? I never thought of that. Did you make that connection?
I never heard that. I don't have a Shastric quote on that.
Oh, you didn't say that then?
I did say that.
You did say that.
Yeah, but I don't have any Shastric code. That was my own thinking. As I said, my thought. Because if we say, if Guru, Prabhupada like said, Guru, spiritual master is not God. Spiritual master is as good as God. Yeah? If Srila Prabhupada's, if we think that the Guru is, because our idea of, we're thinking that a guru has to be a certain way, and mostly in our, those who are with that philosophy, the idea, the thinking is that a guru has to be like Srila Prabhupada. And so, just like Gadadhar thought, the guru, that a Vaishnava is not a certain, you know, this is not a Vaishnava. So, I'm not understanding that each person is a person, not to expect somebody to be a certain way. So in that understanding, yes, I felt like that's just my own thought. That's why I did express that my thought on it, not necessarily that's some Shastric quote. Maybe I'm not supposed to say that while I'm sitting on a Vyasasan, but I took the liberty.
It seems then that it's connected to the point of nowhere is utopia.
Yeah.
That those who are impersonalists insist, I mean, they can't let go of this conception of perfection, like that. However, Prabhupada did say then, as you read, or was it Bhaktivinoda, clear this, you know, straighten it out for me, that, oh no, Prabhupada said, even in this movement, there may be, envy,
Yes.
Yeah. But that is transcendental because all the devotees are focused on serving Krishna.
Yes.
So even the Ritviks are still serving Krishna.
Yes.
So how do we...
Personalists may also be serving Krishna. It's not that everybody can be serving Krishna.
Okay.
Yeah. Mayavadis may also be serving Krishna. That doesn't mean that they're not serving Krishna.
So we should not have malice.
Yeah.
Toward these individuals.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Bhagavati Guru.
Thank you for such an amazing, deep, thoughtful class. You know how the verse talked about the Lord's red-hot anger?
Mm-hmm.
And then Prabhupada said in the purport that the qualities of the Lord and the living entities are the same, but the quantity mm-hmm. is different.
Mm-hmm.
And also talking about that fear, like attachment, fear and anger, they in Bhagavad Gita, like that Bhakti Vinod Thakur, mm-hmm. oh, you fear your personal form. It's oftentimes, having basically been burned in material relationships, people shy away from them and develop an impersonal philosophy. So, like sometimes when Prabhupada would speak very strongly, I remember there was one Bombay Pandal, he spoke very strongly. I think whatever the details. Some people actually got up and left because they thought a spiritual master shouldn't be angry.
Yeah.
But anger's a natural thing, and it can be engaged in the service of the Lord. What I've thought about often these days, when it seems like not only in the big world, but in our devotional society world, there's so much misunderstanding, so many accusations, so much polarization and self-righteousness and anger. I was trying to think how to not be impersonal, allow that a person can have a good reason or some reason where they're coming from for seeing in a certain way different from how I see. What came to my mind actually, or has come many times, is a line from that famous Rudyard Kipling poem, If. If you can do this and that, you know, then you'll be a man, my boy. Well, one of the lines is, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, yet make allowance for their doubting too. I think all of us could benefit from a frame of mind like that, where we can treat the other person with their different idea respectfully and hear them as sincerely as we're able before we come back with our response. We might actually have more genuine communication than just yelling at each other about our different viewpoints, whether online or whatever.
Thank you. Well, Srila Prabhupada expected us to be ladies and gentlemen. And if we can just be just put away Krishna consciousness, just be ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, we would probably become personalist just that way. Yes, Ekadashi.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, thank you. It's a really, really wonderful class. I'm thinking about when you mentioned like having the expectation that my spiritual master should be like Srila Prabhupada. And that's so, then I wonder though, I don't know, like if a person feels that they have affection for Srila Prabhupada, maybe it's because we know so much about him and hear so much about him and worship him every day. And so there's this affection. And is it realistic then, or not realistic, to expect, because I'm dealing with a lot of people who are, oh, now they're looking for a spiritual master. You know? And is it not realistic to expect that, okay, well, so I want to have that type of affection for my spiritual master.
So you're saying whether it's realistic or not realistic for somebody to have the same affection that one may have for Srila Prabhupada. Is that your question, Akadashi?
Yes.
We all know Srila Prabhupada's position. His position is very different. We're just talking about as far as his spiritual... he's our founder Acharya. So his role, his position is very unique. Now, your question is not about position, you're talking about affection. And how I can answer is that one has affection for one's father, and then one may have affection for one's sibling. And question you may ask, though, can I have as much affection for the sibling as much as I have for the father? Yes. I don't see the answer to be no. But I do see it's different. Affection is very unique for each person. Again, we're talking about personalism. So the affection that one may have for a sibling is different than the affection that one may have for the father. So here we're talking about father and grandfather. And so in one sense, yes, and in one sense, to understand, it's different. However, as long as we understand, I think, as our ISKCON movement, I think it's extremely important for us to always establish Prabhupada's unique position. That's the most important. And naturally it happens because a person comes to the movement and we introduce them to Srila Prabhupada because they don't have a spiritual master at that time. So naturally, you said naturally that happens, that they hear about Srila Prabhupada and they have affection for him. So your answer, yes, but it's different. If anybody else would like to
yes.
say anything on in
on that topic, yes.
Anybody else would like to say anything?
Yes.
It's amazing. This question is coming up all the time. And I can relate a little story of personal experience when I was 79, 80, became a devotee, suppose, like, come in touch with the Hare Krishna movement, I call the temple, the local temple, after seeing Srila Prabhupada in the screen, I thought, that's amazing, I want to meet this person, this man. So I called the temple and I said, such person, I want to meet Srila Prabhupada. And he said, oh, our spiritual master left the body, but he left 11 disciples. I was thinking, no, you don't understand. I want to meet Srila Prabhupada, not the 11 disciples. So my conception of Krishna consciousness was probably very neophyte, but yet nobody but nobody since then have shown me from, like, when you see first the founder of Acharya, you feel like probably very, very attractive in many ways by his speech, his presence. So then, you elaborate more when you're in touch with the senior devotees and everybody else, you understand your position and the link to Parampara, and whoever touches your heart to link you close to Prabhupada, that's your guru, I thought, at that time, which is true, actually. The disciplic succession help us to develop a relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Because Srila Prabhupada is the Shaktivesa avatar, is unique, totally unique. He's one of the founder acharyas of ISKCON movement, so we cannot go beyond that. Nobody's below, you know, beyond him, you know.
Thank you. Well, I'll just last comment I'd like to say, if there's no other... yes, Sri Ranga Thakur Prabhu. And then Steve, did you want to improve? Yes, sir, Anil Thakur.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Just thinking, I think it was a letter you were reading mm-hmm. where you spoke about a utopian perception, mm-hmm. a sense of perfection that might bring about fault finding. Mm-hmm. So I can see, just in my own experience, Krishna consciousness, an attempt to reach perfection in the details, but it might be utopian. So then what is the perfection that we can reach and we can cultivate without getting stuck in that utopian place?
If you don't mind to repeat the question, the last, what you said,
just what is the perfection that we can reach without getting stuck in that utopian place mm-hmm. of a fault-finding kind of perfection?
I think, first of all, fault-finding means we're directing our consciousness to the other person. So what is the perfection we can reach?
Yes.
And the perfection we can reach is we do our best. In other words, we try our best to do what we can do best without the expectation from the other person. Does that answer your question? It helps, okay. We'll stay with that. Sridhar Muni Prabhu will help the rest of it.
I got some. Well, it seems like everything here is a reflection of the spiritual world, but like you said, you mentioned...
Can you speak into the mic, please, Sridhar?
Which side? I thought I was speaking into it.
I can't.
Oh. All right, I'll try again.
Be a little more personal, Sridhar Muni Prabhu. Put the mics next to your mouth so that everybody can hear. Maybe it's...
All right. But anyway, so... But you, like you mentioned, like, in exchange with the gopis, it's free from malice.
Yes.
Yeah, so it seems like everything... I mean, one way to frame it, maybe, is, everything here is a reflection. We often hear that. But it seems the essential quality of the spiritual, or rasa, is there's no envy. Yeah. And here, everything is tinged on some level of envy, because that's part of the... pastime, if you will, why the conditioned souls wish to explore the ultimate reality here.
Well, Srila Prabhupada said there is envy. He said, he said there is, he specifically he's saying here, which was a surprise, he said there is envy, but it's without malice.
Yeah.
And so, because one gopi wants, she hears, oh, she did this for Krishna, oh, so she wants to do better. So that is envy, but without malice.
Right, right, right. Depends how you define envy, but it's that malice that's the problem.
Without the malice, yeah. So that's what Srila Prabhupada is saying. So the devotees have given their life into serving Krishna. So their intention is to serve Krishna, and therefore it's transcendental. But I think for us as devotees, we are practicing, Prabhupada is very, very, we see that he's very giving, like, saying that the devotees are better than everybody, and he is very compassionately, very kind that way. But at least what we can take from it, or at least I take from it, is without malice. Just not have that malice towards whatever philosophy anybody believes, or what they do, or how they think, or just take that malice out of the equation.
Is like Prabhupada signed all his letters, you're ever well-wishing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So in the spiritual world, it's like the mood to some degree, I guess.
Yeah.
Imagination to me, I suppose.
Okay, that's the clock, by the way, stopped. It's in the impersonal zone. So I had to turn around and see. So that's stopped. And I'm like, okay, it's still that time. No, it doesn't make sense. Anyway. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you, everybody, for your kind listening.